Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can also check us out on Twitter. Follow us at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay. My guest right now is a good friend of the show. He's been on many, many times. He is the founder of the Now Playing Network and hosts the Voices and Visions podcast and lots of really great podcasts on the Now Playing Network. He's a friend of the show, fills in for us reviewing movies when Colin and or Eric aren't able to join us. Jim is our go-to guy. He's been on the show many, many times. He is Jim Liskowski, and he found a list on Pitchfork of the top 200 best albums of the 60s. And thought it would be fun to get on here and talk a little bit about that list, which we're going to do extensively after we let Jim go. I want to hear Jim's list and his thoughts on it. But then we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about the this Pitchfork list with you guys in just a little bit. But we want to welcome Jim back to the show. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, Nick. It's a pleasure to be back, as always. Thank you so much.
Sure, man. Before we get to this list, now this was on the Pitchfork website?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. I just want to get your thoughts on it. But remind everybody about the Now Playing Network.
Certainly. Well, over at nowplayingnetwork.net, there's just a wide variety of great podcasts. It's the home to a lot of great shows, including one of the bigger ones out there right now in terms of movie podcasts, and that's the Pure Cinema Podcast, which recently did a whole retrospective discussion on Quentin Tarantino, and what they did was pair one of Tarantino's movies with another movie that's kind of along the same lines thematically. Mm-hmm. So they chose a lot of older films or films that Tarantino was inspired by, things like that. So it was a really great episode for the Pure Cinema Podcast. And another great horror commentary show called Tracks of the Damned just did a great discussion on the horror of Dracula that I recommend. And of course, you got Vinyl Emergency, hosted by recent guest and friend to the show, Jim Hankey,
right,
who continues to do stellar work on that podcast, as you well know. And there's many others, Supporting Characters, Fresh Perspective, Movie Madness, Director's Club, and there's a fun new release review show hosted by Brian and Shay called Drinking at the Movies, where they just basically see a bunch of new releases every week, and then they get together for, you know, a half hour to 45 minutes, have some drinks, and talk about what they've seen in terms of new releases. So that's a fun show. And, of course, my own show, Voices and Visions, is there as well, and people can check them all out at nowplayingnetwork.net.
Let me ask you about this Horror of Dracula podcast. I have to listen to that. I haven't heard it. Because that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, mine too. I've been meaning to rewatch it, and what my friend and former Directors Club co-host Patrick Rapol does is that he essentially does his own audio commentaries, so you can sync up the movie along with his podcast and just watch it along, and then, you know, he points out certain scenes or he talks about the history of the film or just, you know, oh, that was really cool, you know, kind of moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and he did it with a really smart guest by the name of Robert. So, it was a great episode. It really was.
I'm going to have to listen to it. I have to listen to it. It's Horror of Dracula, for people who might not know, is a Hammer film with Christopher Lee as Dracula and my hero Peter Cushing as Van Helsing. And it's my favorite. It's my favorite Dracula movie of all time. And that's great. I got to hear that for sure. So there's a Now Playing Network going on, and by the way, Jim, you will be filling in for Eric in a few weeks because he's going to be at the Toronto Film Festival. So you'll be So all right, look forward to that. Okay,
absolutely.
And speaking of film critics, now you are now a member of the CFCA.
And it's quite the honor. And you know, I had a sneaking suspicion a little bit just because Eric was like, hey, Don't forget to apply.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, I mean, maybe I could have gotten in sooner. It just never really occurred to me. I just always consider myself very freelance. And I really think it's, you know, I officially started reviewing movies in the mid to late 90s when I would just kind of type up reviews and then hand them out to friends or customers at the video store I worked at. But the first time I became a regular caller to your show was probably in 98. Mm-hmm. And one of my earliest memories was hearing like a fall movie preview between you and Dan Geyer.
Yeah.
Who, of course, is the president and has one heck of a handshake.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was around that time that, you know, I just studied film extensively. And, you know, from that moment on, I just became a devoted fan of yours, of course. And I have you to thank for all the support over the years as well. So it means a lot to be a part of this organization.
Yeah, it's a good organization, man. And you know, it's the Chicago Film Critics Association. So welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Good to be here.
All right. Now, another thing that we wanted to talk about before we get to this Pitchfork list of the best albums of the 60s, you were recently in New York City and you met my favorite director. You met Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's also my favorite director.
Yeah.
In fact, before I even got to meet him, me and my friend Bill were having dinner at a restaurant just around the corner from the theater, and I look out the window, I'm like, is that my favorite director just walking past this window right now?
Yeah.
So that was kind of surreal, just to be having dinner, and then all of a sudden, oh, he's just walking outside,
yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was there to present a couple of 35mm print repertory screenings of movies by his favorite director, Jonathan Demme.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see Melvin and Howard and Married to the Mob on the big screen, and they were incredible prints. Mm-hmm. And those are two movies that, you know, I really liked them when I first saw them, and now, like a third or fourth viewing, I love them.
Well, Melvin and Howard, I mean, I love Married to the Mob. I think it's a wonderful movie and it's very funny. But Melvin and Howard is one of my favorite Demme movies of all time.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And I remember seeing it the first time when it was released and just thinking how special it was. And I think it just established what Demme's tone was and what, you know, sort of a humanist director he was. And and I think it set the stage for all of the best stuff that followed. The blueprint was Melvin and Howard.
Yeah, you know, he's really good at quirky supporting characters throughout his movies, but they all are fully realized. They're all very human, like you said.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I love about his work. And so, of course, you know, Paul was there and singing the praises of Demme, and just couldn't have been warmer and kinder and nicer to the audience and, you know, host a Q&A. But so these screenings were back-to-back, and sitting in the back row in between these two movies was Paul, just sort of chilling out there. And surprisingly, not a lot of people were approaching him at first. I figured he would be, like, swarmed.
Yeah.
But I finally mustered up the courage to talk to him after a little while. But then this older woman walks up to him with a tiny little notepad, I guess, to get his autograph. And I overhear her say to Paul, "So I'm a big fan of yours. I got to say, I love the movie Sex, Lies, and Videotape."
Oh, no.
Paul was very cool about it and said, "Well, I wish I made that movie."
Yeah.
And the woman was embarrassed, of course, but I just kind of wanted to, you know, lighten things up a little. And I walk up behind her and I look towards Paul and I say, "Well, Sex, Lies, and Videotape was the original working title for Boogie Nights." And he laughed.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, he said, "Good one, man." And, you know, then, of course, I had to tell him about how much Magnolia means to me and, you know, how that really helped me deal with, like, the loss of my dad from cancer. And, you know, he couldn't have been cooler. We took a picture together.
Yeah, I saw the picture. Yeah.
And I didn't get to say a whole lot just because, you know, he was busy and there were a lot of people behind me after a while. So, but really, he just could not have been a nicer guy.
Yeah.
So it was really great to shake his hand.
Well, that's cool. Call it Paul Thomas Anderson. And that's pretty cool. You know, it's appropriate that he was the guy to introduce a couple of great Demme movies because he's clearly influenced by him. There's no question about it.
So, yeah, 100%.
All right, listen, Jim, hang on, all right?
All right,
all right. It's a list right here of the 200 best albums of the 60s. We're going to dive into that in a little bit with you guys and open up the phone lines, and I'll go down the list and stuff. But we want to hear Jim's thoughts on it. Jim found the list on Pitchfork. Jim is a musician and a big music fan, and we're going to get his thoughts on the best albums of the 60s. All coming up right after this on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio. Jim Laskowski, who's the founder of the Now Playing Network of podcasts. You can check out nowplayingnetwork.net. Is a big music fan and a musician and found out this list over at Pitchfork on the Pitchfork website about the 200 best albums of the 1960s. And we wanted to get Jim's thoughts on that and talk about Jim. We'll talk about some of your favorites. What did you think of the list in general?
Well, yeah, I mean, so there are quite a few records on there that I actually haven't heard yet, despite being, you know, familiar with the artists overall. I mean, I'm sure you being an avid radio fan yourself, I'm not even sure if he's still working today. He could be, but you might remember a DJ by the name of Dick Biondi.
Oh, yeah, he's still working.
Wow.
Yeah, no, Dick's still on. Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. Yeah, well, he turned me on to oldies with, mm-hmm. 104.3, and I just heard a ton of oldies when I was a kid, you know, from the 50s and 60s, and of course, my parents had a collection of 45s and vinyl that I sifted through. But, you know, more often than not, a lot of the artists featured on the list here, I've mainly heard on, like, compilation records or greatest hits collections. Like, certainly my dad had a lot of Motown, but they were mostly, like, just these compilations of a lot of songs. So I hadn't heard, like, a lot of separate albums by, like, your Aretha Franklin, for example, until, you know, recently, or even just checking out this list. And, you know, obviously a lot of classic films like American Graffiti or Stand By Me were also in rotation, back when I was a kid, too. So, I mean, I really do love the music of the 60s, but I am essentially a child of the 80s.
Yeah.
But I put together a quick list of 30 titles that kind of stuck out to me as being favorites that I constantly go back to. I mean, there's so many on this list to get to, and you guys will.
Yeah, and the other thing about it, the thing that I found out about, that I found really interesting about the list is that, man, it covers every single kind of genre. It's really all over the place, and I think that that's pretty cool. And I'm looking at the top ones, and these are all arguably, like if you look at the top 10, those make sense. You could quibble about where they're placed or which ones are too high, which ones are too low, and maybe ones that are omitted. But all of them arguably could be considered some of the best albums of the 60s without question. Now, so you put together a list, and what are some of your favorites?
Well, there's certainly, your typical kind of like, well, yeah, Stevie Wonder for Once in My Life. You got to put that on there because, he's, of course, made amazing records in the 70s, but there's just so many great songs on that particular record, of course. There's some unexpected ones for me, too, that I sort of just discovered fairly recently. Like, there's this band called The Sonics, and I don't know how I'd not heard of them before, and I'm not even exactly sure. It just might have been through the social media airwaves at some point that I got turned on to this song called The Witch that was just like this crazy, loud, surf punk kind of song.
Yeah.
And I just went nuts for this band for a little while. But yeah, The Sonics. And certainly one of the few highlights of the movie High Fidelity is the soundtrack. And I got turned on to the 13th Floor Elevators.
Yeah,
the High Fidelity soundtrack.
Yeah,
and there's also a great documentary about the lead singer, too.
Yeah, they opened the movie. The first song in the movie is by those guys, yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely one that's grown up to be a favorite of mine. And of course I had to throw in some jazz because I am a fan. I don't listen to it as regularly as, your classic rock and whatnot, but Thelonious Monk's solo Monk record is just some of the best jazz piano playing you will ever hear in your life.
Yeah.
And of course you got to put in some live records as well. Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison is just, it is the definitive experience when listening to Johnny Cash.
Oh, it's one of the best. It's one of the best albums of all time. Certainly, also one of the best. One of the best live albums of all time as well. No question.
Yeah, for sure. Neil Young's Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, again, another, he went on to make some extraordinary records later on, and I think Neil Young himself has kind of gone on record as saying, like, yeah, my debut, I was still trying to find my voice, and that's certainly true, but then his second record here with Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere is just, that was one of the first records I remember falling in love with, and, my dad and I bonding over quite extensively, so that one belongs on there. Van Morrison's Astral Weeks, please.
Yeah. No, that's one of the, again, one of the greatest albums ever recorded.
And if you want to read a great piece about that, just look up, Google search Lester Bangs, Astral Weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an album, and it's an album too. It's one of those. I mean, there are cuts on it that are wonderful to listen to, but that's an album that should be listened to from beginning to end. It's because it's a journey. The whole experience of listening to Astral Weeks is pretty amazing when you listen to it from front to back. Even though there are certain songs on there that you can take out and listen to.
Yeah, I'm trying to teach some of my students that fact too, because you know they're all about the Spotify playlist and listening to singles by themselves.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, there are some records out there, especially from the past, that were meant to be heard from beginning to end.
Well, I mean, if you look at this Pitchfork list, so many of these are meant to be listened to from beginning to end. You know, I mean, so many of them. And the thing about it is, when I first heard about this list of 200 best albums of the 60s, I immediately was thinking to myself, okay, then what are we top 10? It's going to be all Beatles? That's the first thought I had. And obviously it's not. And they made interesting choices. I mean, obviously the Beatles dominate the top 20. As they should, because you know they're the greatest. And I'm also surprised at how high they put the White Album, which I guess I'm not surprised, because it's a great, great record. But, you know, I would have put Revolver above that. That's just me.
Well, Revolver is definitely my number one.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of goes back and forth between Pet Sounds and Revolver.
Yeah.
Just because those are the two albums that made me realize the power of music, and also just the studio as an instrument.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, back-to-back, like, that's my number one and number two right there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, I do think that the Zombies really need to get a little bit more recognition for Odyssey and Oracle. That is just...
It's a great record.
One of the best.
Yeah, that's a great record. Yeah, there's a lot of other things here, you know, like on the list that... that come out. I mean, you've got The Who, you got Simon and Garfunkel, Captain Beefheart, Hendrix. These are all artists that deserve to be on the list and are on the list. It's just a question of where would you rank them. That's the only question.
Yeah, like the Coltrane record at number three, I don't know if I would put it that high. It's certainly good.
Yeah.
But there are other jazz records that kind of just speak to me a little bit more. And it's all subjective. It's all personal taste. Like, they of course had to include the Velvet Underground and Nico, and rightfully so. But I've always gravitated more towards the self-titled record myself.
Yeah. Yeah, the Nico record is it's fantastic. And it comes in at number one on the Pitchfork list. And it's, you know, when they've done lists in the past, whether it be Rolling Stone or Spin or any other publication or website or something like that, Velvet Underground and Nico is always near the top or at the top of the list, and it's even not just the 60s but of all time. That record is always listed near or at the top, so it's not surprising that Pitchfork put it there too. All right, Jim, you've got your list of the top 30. Can we post that on our Facebook page?
Oh, please do. VoicesVisions.net.
Okay.
And you can check everything out there.
Okay. All right. Thanks for joining us and talking about this, and we're going to kick off a conversation with the listeners now.
All right, anytime, man. I have so much gratitude for all that you do, and again, I'm very happy to fill in anytime.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when Eric is in Toronto. You'll fill in for us.
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks, Jim. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
Later.
See you later. There you go. Jim Liskowski. Everybody check out nowplayingnetwork.net for a bunch of podcasts that are very cool and his list of his favorite top 30 albums of the 60s. And I've got the list here of the top 200 best albums of the 60s, and we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. What are some of the best albums of the 60s in your opinion? Phone lines are open. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break here for the news on 720 WGN.